Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God is good.
Yes. All the time.
I bring greetings from Uganda, East Africa, where you have your brothers and sisters. They really told me to tell you that thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And they allowed me to come back to you today. Especially my wife. Greeting for my wife and my two sons. They love you so much. I want to thank God for Pastor Rick to really love me and to establish a relationship with me, to take me as his own brother. It takes someone to love you to do what he's doing in my life. Thank you, Pastor Perry. Thank you, all of you. I see new faces which I didn't see last time when I was here. So which means the prayer we prayed last time, God answered them and he moved. Thank you so much. Today, I know this morning service is very, very traditional and cool. I forget to ask Pastor how many minutes. I forget. I'm sorry to ask you in front of the people. Oh, I'm sorry. But 30 minutes, that's too long. Praise the Lord. God is so good. I'm telling you, what I see now in natural and what I see in the spirit, I see revival. I still remember the day when I came here the first time, how the place was look like. And even today, how the place look like. There's a big difference. Very, very big. Can you give God praise for that? I mean, I really see the difference. I feel the spirit of revival. I thank God for all the time he has been sending me here and all the prayers we have been praying together. It has not been in vain. It has not been wasting time. It has been a precious time. God has really valued our prayers and our faith. I'm telling you, I can feel the move of God. I can feel the Holy Spirit moving. Amen. Today, we already read in the book of Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus was commanding his disciples. One thing I know about the leadership, in the leadership, the boss, especially in the army, the boss, every word he speaks is a command. Once you are chief of command, you are in commanding office, everything you speak is a command. So Jesus was commanding his disciples, go and teach them, observe whatever I have taught you. You go. So it's a command. A good servant, you have to obey your master. I mean, in the army, those who went in the army, once the boss, the commander say, one thing you have to say is, yes, sir. That's how we do in Uganda. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When the boss say, you can't say no. Once you say no, you are disobey the command, you have a punishment. So it's very, very important we as a Christian, children of God, to know that we are operating, we are living under the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he said, whatever he commanded us, we have to fulfill it. Go to the end of the world. Go and teach them to observe. Go and preach. Go and make more disciples. It's a command. What does it mean to you? To me, it means I have a big responsibility. Let me tell you, my sisters and brothers, in the kingdom of God, every person, you have a responsibility. This responsibility, this task is for everyone to preach the gospel, to spread the good news about Jesus. we have a mentality. We have a thinking in people's mind. They think that preaching the gospel is only for pastors, only for reverends, bishops, apostles, prophets. I mean, people have titles, but for me, I don't go by titles. One title I want people to call me Brother Daniel. That's enough for me. Why? Because we have one Father in heaven. We have one Savior, Jesus Christ. We have one Holy Spirit, one baptism. So we don't need, I don't need apostle, bishop, call me the way you want, but for me, I'll be happy when you call me Brother who? Daniel. I've been encouraging my people in Uganda to tell them, let them know that what I do, you can do it. You can stand here and hold the microphone and speak better than me. But the reason why I'm standing here today, because I obeyed my master, Jesus. So what you need to do is obey. What has been lacking in your life is obedience. And obedience, the Bible says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And when you don't obey, where is your categorism? When you don't obey, you are rebellious. Woo! I don't like that. And I'm not going to stay there because I don't hope I have any rebellious here. If we have any rebellious here, this is your time to wake up. Because the Bible says rebellious is better. I mean, is the same thing like witchcraft. God hates witchcraft. Because witchcraft is a worship. People worshiping witchcraft. So God doesn't want any daughter, any son to worship any other God. He wants only you and me to worship Him. Thank you for those small clapping, but it's okay. I'll move on. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's no sin. There's no devil. There's no Satan in saying amen. There's no sin. You are not sinning when you say hallelujah. In fact, you are joining the angels in heaven. If you read the Bible, I read, my Bible says in heaven, angels, the saints, the only duty they do is hallelujah, amen, word, Jesus, word, holy, hallelujah. So they are worshiping in God in hallelujah. So when you say hallelujah, it means now you are joining heaven. Now you are joining angels. Now you are worshiping the same way how they worship Him in heaven. Somebody help me to say hallelujah one more time. So I'm emphasizing the word we just read here about go to the end of the world. Help me, my eyes, you know, when you turn 40, sometimes you find some challenges. Please pass me my phone there so I can see the time. I can't, for sure, I need a glass. I need glasses to make sure that I don't pass that clock. I'm not sure that clock is working real good. That work of men may not work real good, but this one never fail. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm trying to emphasize the point of go and teach them. It's your responsibility. I have a message which I'm not going to preach here, but I can borrow that title, which says, don't be content. Don't be satisfied where you are. Expand your vision. Expand your dream. Jesus, our Savior, is not a man of small vision. He's a man of huge vision. His vision is the whole world. His vision is heaven and earth. When He was dying on the cross, He died for the whole world. He not died only for you and me. He died for everyone. So now it's your responsibility. It's a task. It's a command. He commanded me. He commanded you to go and reach somebody. It's too bad to be a Christian and you know the benefits of Christians and you just keep it by yourself. Then it means you are selfish. In the kingdom, there's no selfishness. Kingdom heart, kingdom faith, kingdom is to share what you have. There's nothing for me. is whatever I have, I can share with somebody. No matter how little it is, I have faith that Jesus can multiply what I have and make it bigger. You remember when Jesus was feeding the 5,000 people, not even including women and children? There was only how many fishes? How many fish? It was only two? Two fish, and he multiplied it. God can multiply your faith. God can multiply the knowledge you have in the Bible. You don't need to know from Genesis to Revelation. Use what you have. He loved the world and he gave his begotten son. And he died for you. And he rose again. Now he's alive. When two people, three people gather together, he's right there in their midst. He's not waiting a big crusade, all the whole city of Phoenix to come together, to come in their midst. He just waits you and me. You can stand in Jesus' name and say, Jesus is right here, my brother, between me and you. And his presence is here. He can touch your heart, touch my heart. He can heal your body and heal my body. That's why, in fact, before I quit on the microphone, I invite somebody to come tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. Because tomorrow I'm going to be more crazy like in Uganda. How? Tomorrow we are going to exercise the power of the gospel. Tomorrow we are going to exercise the power of the cross of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus. The power in the name of Jesus. Tomorrow God is going to prove that Jesus is his son. Jesus is the one who saved the world. Tomorrow, how? Lay hands on you. If you have any sickness in your body, bring it tomorrow. I pray that that sickness will not kill you today or tonight until tomorrow. Because tomorrow we have more time to pray for you. Tomorrow, Christ has already allowed me to lay hands to everyone who has a sickness in Jesus' name, and you are going to be healed. Somebody help me to praise God one more time. That's the only way we are going to change the whole world. See how Muslims they are doing today. Muslims, they are networking. It's so very sad that Muslims, they have already saturated in the whole world. Even here in America today, you have a big number of Muslims in history. You have never had a big number of Muslims like you have them today. That's why America has to wake up, and Christians have to wake up. Because they have done their job. They have networking. They have connected, and they have established, and they are keeping on winning souls and winning people, converting them into Muslims. That's why today you find there are some Americans, they find them, when you follow the news, they find them in terrorist groups. They are fighting, but they are American. Some of them born here. Why? Because these people, they knew the secret. The secret is to spread the gospel, to spread their faith, to expand their faith everywhere. Now in Africa, they are trying to take territories. They are trying to capture their whole countries and be their bases. That's why God is waking up Christians. They say, hey, Christian, what are you doing? Time to wake up. Time to do something. You can make it. You can open your mouth and share your faith. I pray that God will give us enough boldness and enough courage that we don't feel shame to share our faith. I think God will give us grace that Christian in America, it's your right. It's your freedom. You to express what you believe, what you feel. America used to be, I think it's still, that one nation under, not under devil. You need to keep that faith. The people came before, they kept the faith, and they dedicated this nation under God, and they declared it, and up to now. But the devil want to cover that. The devil want to take it. It's your responsibility to keep that spirit moving. That America belongs to God, not to the devil. That's why even in your money, you put in God we trust. You can keep that faith that this country belongs to God, not to the devil. This country belongs to Jesus. This country belongs to... You can share your faith. You can share what you believe to somebody else. Help me to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Borrow me another 10 minutes. Is it okay? I want to give you an example. When I came here the first time, I don't know how many our churches was by that time. Pastor, I remember, I told you. Was it in... the first time. Was in 20s? You remember? Was that in 20s? How is a minister grow? How many years? Only 6 years, I think, or 8. Now, I'm overseeing 151 churches. Someone was telling me because you have a big population, and someone was reasoning to me and telling me, you know what, in Uganda is the same size, the size of our country is the same size of Arizona, and then but the population here in Arizona, how many millions? 8-7, the whole Arizona. Now I give you homework, you see. Oh, God brought me here for the reason. Go and find out how many people lives in Arizona. Amen? So, in Uganda, it's same size like Arizona, we are 37 million people. And here you went like 8 million people. Why? The missionary, the volunteer who hosts me where I stay, she's only one, but I'm telling you, she lives in the house like 4 or 5 bedrooms. So you find a big house, only 2 people live there. Big house, only 1 person. It's not like that. If I have like her house, I would have more than 20 people living there. My small house, we live there like 8 people. But what is my point? My point is here, in the way how my church grow, I taught the pastors, I hate to say that my spiritual sons, because Jesus said, never call anyone your father. He said that. And I'm very careful when I'm reading the Bible. So I hate to tell them they're my spiritual sons. But Paul said that. So the Bible is not contradicting itself. So you believe what you believe, whatever is in the Bible. Amen? So the Bible talks. So these spiritual sons, I teach them to preach the gospel, to reach out. Myself, I planted like 15, 17 churches. And these pastors, they continue doing the same thing. I'm not there, but they have already told me, when I go back, I'm going to open another 3 churches officially. That's why our need is big. Because we keep on. Once you people, you know how to witness about the kingdom, about Jesus, this place is not going to be enough for us to worship here. Because everyone next Sunday, you are going to bring somebody. And that somebody is going to bring somebody. And that somebody is going to bring somebody. And that somebody is going to bring somebody. So the whole place is going to be full. Then you give this man a big job to do. I'm telling you, that's how the church has been growing. Growing. Now it's 151 churches. Big responsibility. And we don't even stop on 151 churches, but even orphanage homes. The Bible says the good religion. Don't think about religion's names. Religion means faith. So the good faith, the good believers, should take care for the widows and orphans. Uganda, we have like 12 million children. No mom, no dad. And it's our responsibility. I'm not going to say, okay, I'm going to just enjoy the microphone and everybody see me as a superstar, a guy who can speak points, and a guy who can speak and everyone happy to hear, and he catch all the people's mind. Oh, that's enough. No, I have to go down and humble myself and find the needs of the people. That's what Jesus did. Thank you for that one clapping. Keep on clapping, I'm telling you, it encourages me. Hallelujah. The Bible says Jesus, he humbled himself. I'm not trying to confuse anybody's faith or doctrine, but my doctrine, I believe that Jesus himself sometimes is God who put on the flesh, and he left heaven, and he came down and he reached the sinners, and he ate the way we eat, and he behaved the way we behaved. So however much you are spiritual you are, however much you have big faith, remember to reach somebody. And you don't have to reach people only on your level. God may send you to reach the poor people. God may send you to reach uneducated people. See what Jesus did. And he said, Peter, come, a man who used to speak only nasty words, a fisherman. I said, come, be my disciple. And he made him to be like him. Wow. You can make someone to be like you when you reach out and preach. Yes, give me another 5 minutes, because I want you to read in the book of Ephesians, to add one more verse. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15 is also supporting Matthew 28. My Bible says, And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Muslims, now they are moving around spreading the gospel of fighting, gospel of killing. That's what the Muslim does. Church, what are we doing? It's not a matter of coming here and sit down. We have to do something. As much as the Muslim spreading the killing gospel and murdering gospel, we need to stand up and begin to preach the gospel of peace. Declare peace. Because our kingdom is the kingdom of peace. Now I'm going to have a crusade in one of a village very far to the border of Uganda and Congo. Yeah, you had those who follow the news in Africa, you have heard about march from Congo. Congo is one of the hugest country in Africa, and they have much bush there. So all rebels hide there. The people who want to take over Uganda government, they hide there. The people who want to take over Rwanda government, they hide there. The people who want to take over Sudan, they hide there. I mean, they have enough bush to hide any criminal. I mean, sorry, any I don't know how to call them. Anyone want to do something evil. So, which means there are a lot of Muslims on that border. That's where my wife come from. One day when I went there, there was only Muslim and witchcraft. And I preached, that's how in fact I get in love with my wife. And I preached there. Now we have about 4 churches in the villages in that area. But to open that 4 churches, it was not a joke. People wanted to kill me. Wanted to kill me when I was preaching there. I mean, because many Muslims, younger men, they gave their life to Jesus. Now, in fact, in May, we had a very serious attack that area. And they killed about 300 people. The government silenced it, and he talked to all the medias. He cannot saturate it, because all that area, that's where we have the tourists. So it was like, if it spreads on news, all tourists was going to, and the income is going to go. So the government said, please, don't write, don't spread this. Let's keep it inside. But we experienced a very serious attack in that area. Muslims, in fact, they came in one of our church and they killed 6 people there in the night. And they left written down there. And they say, if you don't quit and join Muslims, we are going to finish all the Christians there. So now the government has put more security there. Now I say, well, when I go back, I have to go and strengthen those areas, strengthen those churches, strengthen Christians, to let them know that Jesus is real and Jesus is alive. I mean, we can't quit. We can't quit believing in Jesus. We can't quit. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm jumping now, I'm in Africa now, I'm sorry. I can't quit believing in Jesus. I can't quit preaching the gospel. I can't quit. I don't care how much they are going to kill us, we are going to stand by Jesus. We are going to stand by the kingdom of God. I have already communicated with my government in Uganda, and I told them I'm coming back. And they said, Daniel, don't worry, but what type of message are you taking there? Because we don't want you to go there and then and raise more fight with the Muslims. I said, no, I'm not going there to fight. I'm going there, in fact, to take the message of unity. Mm-hmm. Unity. We can work together as long as we worship one God in Jesus' name. We can work together as long as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We can work together as long as you believe in the power of the cross, the power of forgiveness, the power of resurrection. That's the message I take. They say, okay, if you bring message, we are going to give you extra protection, extra security. Someone say hallelujah. So the government has read it. In fact, I have an email. It came last night. They said, don't worry, Daniel. We are going to give you a security whereby they call it personal security. Personal security. They're going to give me personal security, which means in front there will be two guys or four, which is hard 9 millimeter here and here and here and here in front of me, and another four behind me, 9 millimeter here and here and here and here. And on the side of them, other people. I'm gonna walk like a real ambassador. But it's not easy. It takes determination. It takes courage. It takes boldness. And I'm gonna go there. We have a great need today. I wish you people, someone, I don't know, maybe you saved money and you put that money for your retirement, or you put that money when you die to live for your children or for your grandchildren. Please get all that money and bring it. Let's go and preach Jesus. Oh, someone said this man is, I'm not crazy. Maybe you never have a chance to go in those areas. But now God has brought a person from Africa. I have a DVD. I hope on the next service we'll be able to see those DVD and see what really we are doing in Africa. The current DVD. I have a current DVD. I hope we have where to show the people next service, maybe even tomorrow. I'm telling you, there is a big duty. And here Jesus said, preparation for the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is declaring that Jesus is the King of Kings. Don't forget verse 17, as I'm winding up, don't forget verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of the salvation. Everyone needs salvation, you know. And the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. We are not going to use AK-47 to approach Muslims. Those who use AK-47, that's their duties. They know why. But my weapon is the sword. The sword. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the Holy Spirit. There is power in the Word of God. And when I speak, even you hold AK-47, you are going to throw it down. And you are going to lift up your hand and say, Jesus, please forgive me, save me. So there is the power in the sword of your mouth. Quickly going on and says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints in Jesus' name. I don't want to say that I'm so spiritual, so I can't catch the time. I know that the morning service is, how is it? Someone say hallelujah, we still have to do other things. So the task, the responsibility, go to the end of the world and preach. You can do something. If you cannot fly to go to Uganda, I'm here. Bring your money in my hands, I will take it. I guarantee you, I'm not going to take your money to feed my stomach. If I was putting people's money in my stomach would be so big. But I don't put money here. I don't put money in clothing. In fact, even my pastor was asking something I don't even put on the brochure, the transportation. Every time I have to go there, now I have to rent, find the transportation to take me there. I don't have a personal car in my country today. I need a very stronger Jeep. I was telling the person who gave me her Jeep to drive, I said, we should ship this Jeep to Uganda. And she loved her Jeep so much. But you can get your support and put in my hands. And if you feel courage to come, please come. Come. Come and experience what we are doing there. I'll be there, I'll host you, I'll walk with you. I'll make sure nothing harm you. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you stand up and I make it before I put down the microphone? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this message. You told us to go to the end of the world and preach the gospel. You told us to make people disciples. This is the message, Lord, you are telling us as we feel the spirit of revival, not just to come here and enjoy and feel good, but even to leave this place and go and share what we have to others. And share to our neighbors, to share our brothers and sisters who are still bounded with the chains of the devil. Oh Lord Jesus, bring your Holy Spirit to upon us. Holy Spirit, give us courage, give us boldness, give us wisdom, give us revelation, give us wisdom how we can approach our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, how we can change and transform our neighborhoods, transform the whole city of Phoenix, transform the whole state of Arizona, transform the whole United States. Dear Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit on our lives, Lord, and give us more boldness. I pray that this morning the seed we have planted to your people, not just to come here and listen and go back the same way, but let the Holy Spirit continue to convict and to lead and to teach your people. Let them go back with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let them feel that they can do something. They can open their mouth. They can teach others. They can lift others. They can do something for others. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the revival in amazing grace. Thank you for the great work you are doing in this place through Pastor Rick, through Pastor Perry, and all the ministers. Thank you for this place because we feel heavy presence in this place. We feel your Holy Spirit moving in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you have given me to open my mouth and speak to your people, to share your task you gave us. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. God bless you.